I'm always amazed at how Mary and Joseph marvel at what is said. We know that the angels came and announced the glory of God at his birth, and we know that Joseph had a dream. Do not be afraid, take Mary your wife, and Mary had seen the archangel Gabriel. And we remember that none of those encounters mentioned any trials or that Jesus would be rejected or contradicted. It was all, he'll be great and Son of the Most High. His reign will have no end. And we see that immediately Mary begins to suffer because Joseph doesn't understand at first and threatens a divorce, which is understandable. And they have to travel to Bethlehem and can't find any place to stay. And then they have to go to Egypt because the ruler of the country doesn't understand and seeks to kill him. They have all of these things happening, but nowhere in the scriptures does God speak to them about what's really going to happen to the child until after they've committed. And so they come into the temple, and this is the pattern of God in our lives. These stories are so interesting because we've lived them. Think about it for a moment. You know, you've made a commitment in marriage. You don't know what's coming. We hope everything's going to be great, to have and to hold for this day forward, till death do us part. But the trials will come, and that tests the vows. And when we commit ourselves as Christians, people stand here, they haven't stood here yet, and come into the church, but the trials will come to test their faith. We don't know what it will be. God doesn't reveal it in advance. He just tells us, it'll be great. You're going to be sons and daughters of God. You're going to live in heaven. But that's not here yet. And so they come to the temple. And they're just fulfilling the law. And they see people, as we see here at St. Ed's, people that are in church quite a bit. You know, I love Anna of the temple. She's just always there. She had an 8-year marriage, and after that, she dedicated herself to God. She never got married again. And she just was in the temple night and day. Don't know what she did, but she prayed a lot. Maybe she was straightening the pews. I don't know, but she was in there. But when Jesus, Mary, and Joseph came, an ordinary-looking couple, Jesus did not glow in the dark, but she recognized him. God spoke to her. She was ready. And she comes forward at that very moment in the power of the Spirit. And Simeon has a speaking part in this gospel, and he sees the child. And they're just, it's as if they're coming to be baptized. We have families coming all the time for this. Nothing unusual. And they're coming at the 7th or 8th day, and Jesus is going to be circumcised. And they come and they hold Jesus here. And he says, Now I can die because you promised I'd see the Messiah. Looks like a baby. Isn't it interesting that the Pharisees and the Sadducees never recognized Jesus, but this layperson did? He didn't have an education. He simply was there in the temple, and he was praying, and he recognized God when he saw him. This is a type, because our Lord will come to us with many promises of eternal life and salvation, and yet the trials are going to come. What are we going to do? Why is this happening? Where are those promises? Why is this difficult? We look at the cross. We've got a lot of beautiful white crosses, one more going on the building in a couple of weeks, but the cross in reality is not so beautiful. Yet he promised that also. But with Mary and Joseph, that reality came later. First they committed, then God showed them what was going to happen. I was talking to one of the priests that's known me since I entered the seminary over here yesterday, and I won't say who it was, but he said, I remember you saying that you under no circumstances wanted to do a building project. I said, yeah, if you told me 25 years ago I was going to put this up, I would have jumped off the Marion Street Bridge. I would have actually gone home probably. But, you know, grace comes for all of us as we move, doesn't it? Most of us have gone through a tremendous process, and we suddenly find ourselves here and we're home. And this is the way it is in the next world. The entire journey that we've been walking together as a parish is a type of the spiritual life. I saw an interesting diorama at the grotto. It was there a year and a half ago, and I took a picture of one. It's sort of the joys and sorrows of St. Joseph, and I'm thinking, that's interesting. I've never thought of St. Joseph as having joys and sorrows. Mary sometimes. And this one image is of Joseph and Mary at the presentation in the temple. And I've got this I got a picture, made it into a picture frame. Mary and Joseph are standing here, and Simeon is telling them. He looks at Mary, and Joseph's looking at Mary, and he says, "Your son is going to be rejected. Yes, he's the Messiah, but he's going to be rejected. And you're going to have a sword go through your heart." Wow. And Joseph must have been very distressed to hear this. It's not going to be quite the way the angel Gabriel said. It's going to be more complicated than that. But then the next image on this diorama shows the joys of Mary and Joseph, so that a sword will pierce your own heart, so that the secret hearts of many will be revealed. So the sorrow led to something, a joy at the end. God permitted that because something good would come in the end. No matter how bad our sufferings are, God will turn it to good. How could we not know this when Jesus himself died on a cross? It looked like all was lost. He stayed there 3 days in the tomb. Probably only his mother knew what was going to happen. All the disciples deserted him. They were all surprised. We will be surprised, too, at how God takes our sorrows, which seem almost deliberate, and turns them into joy. You can even see it in this building, all the sorrows of 5 years of meetings. But we did it for a purpose. We gave something to the future. The future begins today here. But the people of St. Ed's are still here. We're still here. Somebody told me yesterday they were disoriented because they'd been away for a couple months. They came in. They said, "I'm not sure where I'm at." But when I turned around from communion, I saw that we were all still here. I said, "Yeah, St. Ed's is still here." And yet we've been through something together. Torn up parking lots, capital campaigns. And in our personal life too, God will put us through something. We're not here on earth to have a good time. He said he's going to sit and refine and purify us like gold and silver. When gold and silver is made pure, the heat is put under it and it's heated until the elements separate. In the same way, God will use our trials to separate us from the things that keep us from being pure gold and pure silver. We don't want that. We say, "Lord, I love my dross. I don't want to be purified. I love those other things." But he knows where we're going, and it's part of the process, that purification. Mary and Joseph went through this. Mary, sinless that she was, Joseph, a righteous man. But they, on earth, they had that sifting and that trial, and that's part of the journey. So today on this Feast of the Presentation in the Temple, we thank God that he guides us on our journey, that he asks nothing of us that he has not already walked himself.